Good evening, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have need a paper, they're back there. This is lesson number 14 in becoming a second mile leader. Session number 14, leading with an open heart. So if you need paperwork, it's back there on the desk. How many of you got the new like text message thing today from the church? Okay. Did you notice the title of our lesson tonight? Okay, well, so the law of solid ground is what our lesson was, is what he said. So I'm going, I didn't study that. And I have no idea what that is, and I couldn't find it in the second my leader. So we are going to assume that our pastor put maybe his title of what his sermon was on this.
What did he say?
He called it the law of solid ground. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go with what I studied because so you know, but you know. Brother Jim said, well, just be instant in season, not a season. So if it's that, then just let everybody help you teach tonight. So we are grateful to be here this evening. And we are on lesson 14, leading with an open heart. So last week we talked about relational currency, pouring into somebody's life and being careful about not taking things out of people's lives, amen? Because when trust is broken, then sometimes that currency, that relational currency, sometimes is gone. And so we want to be very careful about how we lead and very caring to the people that God places in our lives. So this evening, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to be with us this evening. And before I do that, I want you to remember that this is your Bible study. So if you have something to say, we want to encourage you to come to the microphone. There's one there, and there's one here. I know that for some of you, it makes you nervous because you know that you're online. So it makes you a little afraid that you're going to say something silly or you're not going to express yourself the way you wanted to express yourself. But we really will encourage you to share what God puts on your heart. So while you're sitting there listening to the word, listening to the teaching, and God just drops something in your spirit, pay attention to that, okay? Because it's important that you speak up because others do really want to hear from you. The other thing I want to tell you is if you get to the microphone, don't do this or sit way back here because Brother Jim can only get you so much, and if he has to put it way, way high, it's going to start squealing. We want to hear you. Everybody wants to hear you. So we would encourage you to do that this evening, to share what's on your heart when God puts it on your heart. And you may have a nugget that God just births in you that is the very word that somebody else needs to hear. The very word. Or maybe share something in your own life that is that's going to change somebody's heart or change somebody's way of thinking and looking at things. So I would encourage you to do that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, God, for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord. We understand and know that this is not a privilege everywhere in the world and that the body of Christ is persecuted all over the world for their faith. So we are grateful to be in the house of God without fear and without worrying that we're going to be arrested or stopped. We thank you for that. We pray, God, that the word would just find a lodging place in our hearts, and God, let us adhere to your word and hear what it is that you have to say in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. first thing I want to ask you is, if you stub your toe, what do you do? You say ouch. Yeah, but what else do you do? If you hit your hand on something, if you hit your head, if you hit your elbow, you look at it, make sure it's okay. You're going to touch it. You're going to protect it. Almost always when you hurt yourself, the first thing you do is take your other hand or whatever and grab that area that's been wounded. If you hit yourself in the head, the first thing you do is put your hand up. Oh. And so we're talking about leadership. I'm talking to people here in this building, online, who want to be leaders. That's why you're here. That's why you're studying this lesson. Because you want to be a leader. You want to be a second mile leader. You want to be a leader that affects other people. Can I hear a big amen?
Amen.
That is your desire. That is your goal. That's what you want. So if we are going to do that, if that's something we really, 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 really do desire, I have something that I need to tell you tonight. You will get injured. You will get injured seriously. You will get injured by people you never thought would injure you. You will. So my question is, do you still want to do it? Good. Let me hear a yes. Do you still want to do it? Even going in and knowing that Sister Betty's going to say something to you that hurts your feelings, and she had no right to say that to you, are you still willing to do that?
Yes.
Are you still willing to serve when people are unappreciative of your service? When they don't say thank you? When they act like they don't care whether you do it or not? Sister Pam just said, because we're doing it as unto the Lord and not to people. Because he has asked us to. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. So we're doing it unto Jesus, but we are doing it for people. One of the things I loved about this lesson is that they likened being a leader to an EMT. How many in here has ever been an EMT? Sister Ann has. Anybody else? There are people who attend here who have been an EMT. How many of you know what PPE is? Right. Y'all are knowing what that is. If you worked in a hospital or a nursing home during COVID, you would understand PPE. Because they wanted you to put two masks on, and they wanted you to put all the garments on that they ask you to, and the hat, and put it on your shoes, and they were very, very cautious about everything. But what I loved about this example is that if you are an EMT, you will run toward a situation. If that's in your heart, if that's who you are, you will run toward it rather than run away. I love the example of the gentleman. He said, you know, when something bad happens, there's always a lot of people, but usually it's this. And there's lots of people on the edge watching and making sure they got their phones out. But there's only a certain amount of people who will run to a scary situation, who will run to something and say, let me help. And ladies and gentlemen, second mile leaders do that. They run to it instead of avoiding it. They run to a situation. But so your first word to be filled in, if you have a paper, is they run towards it. It's what they do. If we're not careful and we are leaders and we get wounded, we get hurt, we get lied on, we get betrayed, people say things that aren't true about us. People say a little bit of the truth and then they say it to the next person and then it becomes completely miscued and misrepresented. And our tendency is to not run toward it anymore. Anybody ever been there? Not helping anymore. Mm-mm. This is what happened the last time I tried to help. Nope, not doing it anymore. I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. And obviously, that's something that is possible because the scripture says, don't be weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. So obviously, people get weary in well-doing. So one of the things I love about it says that you need personal protective equipment. PPE is first and foremost. What is the point in saving others while creating casualties? Second mile leaders protect themselves with prayer, the word, the armor of God, and close personal relationships with other believers. And they give the example, iron sharpens iron. I've seen people who have been exhausted because they've given and given and given and given and never, ever stayed at the feet of Jesus. And all they were doing was pouring out of an empty vessel. And how many of you know that after a while, that vessel gets empty? You can't pour out of something that doesn't get something poured into. And so we have to be really careful in our dealings with people that we don't just give and give and give and give and never receive. And that's easy to do when you run and do this, and you run and do this, and you run and do this, and you never get poured into. And you never feel like that you are getting the benefit of teaching. Brother Carl.
What we were talking about, I disagree with that last line. An EMT always asks, is the scene safe? No.
That's true.
If you want to be safe, you don't need to go.
That's true. And I looked at that too. And you do ask, is it safe? But oftentimes, a EMT person will not think that. They will first say, I'm going to go in no matter what the cost is. But if they're wise, they will think about it. And they will think about the safest way to get in there and get out of there. But oftentimes, they won't think about their own personal safety. They will go in to help no matter what. Sister Ann.
I was an EMT for about 10 years, most of it here in Cary. And when we were trained, is the scene safe? And even in the factories that I worked in on the safety boards, is the scene safe means, has the danger that caused the incident been stopped? Mm-hmm. Is there a gas leak? Is there a fire? Is there something that is going to injure you or your staff more if you went in? It wasn't, fire departments run into burning buildings. That's their job.
Right.
And
right.
They go in protected. And when you come in as an EMT, you come in with your PPE on before the ambulance stops where it's supposed to be. And it's the same with ministry. If we are staying in our prayer closets and we are staying in the Word and we're allowing the Spirit to lead and guide our mind, our danger is stopped because we know that any offense that's going to come against us is really against God. And we have allowed His Spirit to be the armor that it's supposed to be. We've got on our helmet. We've got on our breastplate. We have on our shoes of peace.
Right. sharing.
And we're going to be joyful even if something's going to come up against us. And just like on an accident scene, when you go to help people, they don't all want your help. I've showed up on accident scenes where people were delirious or they were in trouble legally, so they didn't want any help from anybody that might be connected that might land them in jail. And also sometimes people think that when you're helping them and it hurts, that they don't want your help and they will be combative and fight you back, especially, you know, suicide and drug overdoses and things like that, where they feel like you're there to intrude. And sometimes ministry feels like an intrusion when we're trying to get to the soul problem of what's going on. So it's the same thing, that as long as we are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us to the people that we're supposed to help, mm-hmm. instead of trying to go on something that we know physically or non-spiritually or gossip-wise, but we're going into the prayer closet first, because a lot of times that's where the battle really is, right. and that's where the PPE is needed the most. Right. We have to right. know that we are going into the battle in our prayer closet, right. and the person we're helping may not even know that we were ever there.
Right. Amen. I like the scripture that says Galatians 6 and 1. If you see your brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. So we have to be careful what kind of situations we put ourselves in. But as Brother Carl said, and Sister Ann said, we put on our protection by being in prayer and seeking the Lord and paying attention to the Spirit of God. Because there are dangerous spiritual places. And just because you want to help doesn't mean you should help. Just because you want to fix it, which is what we want to do, doesn't mean it's the time to fix it. So as Second Mile leaders, we want to be that person who helps, who runs to and is not afraid of sticky situations. Yet we are clothed, the Bible says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are clothed with that protection and that prayer and fasting. I remember the story where Jesus said, there was a young man who kept throwing himself in the fire. You remember that story? And Jesus was up on the mountain. When he came down, he said, well, I asked your disciples, but they couldn't do anything about it. And he said, well, this kind, you can't really deal with this kind of stuff except through prayer and fasting. And so we have to put on the armor of God. Amen. So I like what this author said. He said the spiritual scene won't always be completely safe. But one of the other things that we can do that helps us in situations is to keep on the mantle of forgiveness. Just carry it with you all the time. And Matthew 18, 21 through 35, put that up there. Those are little tiny words, aren't they? Then Peter came to Jesus, and this is a familiar story. You know it. And he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? I find that an interesting statement. It's like Peter was like, yeah, I'm being pretty good. Like 7 times? That's awesome. And Jesus answered, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven... So this author says 77 times. What's 70 times 7? Yeah, so it's not 77 times. It's 490 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged. "I will pay back everything." And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. "Goodness, pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, exactly the way he had begged, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. I find it interesting sometimes the way we interact and tell people about God. God is a God of grace. Amen? And mercy and love. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. If you are standing or sitting in this seat this evening, if you're watching online and you know what God has brought you from, you know what God has given you, you know how much he's went way down deep inside you and healed you of stuff that you carried. I'm going to be harsh and say, how dare you say you cannot forgive? How dare you look Jesus in the face and say, that was too much, I can't forgive them? If we're going to be leaders in the house of God, we cannot say those words. You say, yeah, but I don't feel forgiveness. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We walk around so much with our feelings out. I feel this. And I saw this book and it talked about, there's a saying that all around that says, you got to know your truth. You speak your truth. I'm really tired of that. I want to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. I want to do it the way he tells me to. No matter how hard that is, I'm expected to do it the way he says. And Jesus said, this is what your Heavenly Father is going to do to you if you don't forgive. That's a big deal. So we're talking about leadership here. And I already said to you that you will get wounded, you will get hurt, you will get lied on, you will be told things that are awful. And you think, wow, I can't even believe that's coming out of that person's mouth. So you better put on the Lord Jesus Christ and carry with you the mantle of forgiveness at all times. At all times. Now, I know that we say, well, I forgive you, but I don't forget. I might forgive you, but I'm not forgetting. Then you didn't forgive. Because we're asking the Lord to do this for us. You say, but that's hard, Sister Betty. You don't know what they did. I know it's hard. But it is required. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I know that technically or mentally or we are unable to forget things because human right. beings cannot forget things. But when we talk about forgetting in the context of forgiving, forgiving is forgetting. And what yeah. I mean by forget is not that it disappears from your mind.
Right.
It's just you don't bring it up again.
Yeah.
That is forgetting from the biblical
yeah.
aspect.
Yeah.
So God has forgotten your sins. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that he doesn't know that you sinned? He knows you sinned, but he just will never bring it up again. Never, ever, ever. So he forgot as he forgave. So yeah. If you say you forgive someone, but then around the corner you bring the issue up again, you just mention what happened again, you might be on the road to forgiveness, but you have not really applied total forgiveness.
Yeah. And it's important for us to get this aspect and get it in our hearts, deep in our hearts, because we can't lead without it. We can't lead properly without it. We must carry it with us at all times. And I know that sometimes people have done things that are very, very painful. But when you apply the Word of God and the Spirit of God to your life and you get on that road, as Pastor said, to that maturity where you can forgive, the Holy Spirit supernaturally begins to soften that heart of yours. And you begin to see the side of that other person, why they said what they did, why they did what they did, what caused them to be who they were and are. And as the saying said, hurting people hurt people. And when our knee-jerk reaction is not to say something back, when somebody says something to us and we want to say, "Whoa, what about you?" And let me tell you something, that applies to husbands and wives. Because that's what we want to do. "I'll forgive you, honey, but I'm going to keep it right here. I'm going to carry it with me. And when I need it, I'm going to use it." Well, what about you? Remember when you did? It applies to our homes, to our children, to who we lead, because we're leading everywhere. When other people bring it up to us, because they're gonna, "Well, wasn't that the lady who did this and this and this to you?" And you're gonna be tempted to say, "Yeah." But the Holy Spirit is gonna say, "No." And we live in a world, and we've talked about it a lot, about me, 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 me. I have rights. You know, it's not right to let somebody just run all over you and treat you any old way. And Jesus never said that on his way to the cross. Not once. He didn't scream at them and say, "This is unfair." Never once. Go ahead, Sister Sally.
There's a lot of hurt in the world.
Yeah.
But the key is stay close to Jesus, because when we're so close to Jesus and he's always first on our mind, the lies they say about me doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it did before I was saved.
Yeah.
And when my friends say, "Well, they lied on you. How can you say, why don't you just tell them off?" And I say, you know, well, the ones that know me will know it's not true.
Right.
So don't worry about that. They'll find out later that they're wrong.
Yeah.
And that's the trick, is to stay close to Jesus.
Yes.
Because with Jesus, even your husband and your wives, you know, you stay close to him. You're not going to keep bringing things up, because if you keep bringing it up, it just keeps going on and on, festering and getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Yes, amen. It's good. So the next thing I want to look at tonight is, so here is some things that we can do to make sure that we're good leaders. And that we are leading with open hearts and not protecting ourselves from hurt. We're just going to lead, and we're going to be like those EMTs that just rush in without regard to our own safety. Go ahead, Brother Andy.
So I just want to say something about forgiveness real quick, because in the past I had a hard time forgiving people. if I'm being honest. But Colossians talks about forgiveness, and it basically says he has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And it goes in to say that he disarmed principalities and powers through the cross. So I think if you are right with God, like, because Romans says he was delivered up for our offenses but was raised because of our justification. So like Sister Sally was saying, if you're right with God, that would indicate that you've already been forgiven, and right. Because Jesus' blood is what has the power to forgive, faith is coming into agreement with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And if we believe that at the moment in time where he gave up the ghost and, you know, said, it is finished, at that point in time, when we come into agreement with that, through his blood, you're made right with God. But I think forgiveness is powerful, but righteousness is like, I mean, it's sort of like you can't have one without the other, right? You can't have the death without the resurrection. But I feel like if you're right with God and you know that you're forgiven and right with him because of his blood, then you can have the opportunity and to walk in the freedom to be forgiving people wherever you go, no matter what they do to you.
Amen. Before Ann says something else, I want to do this next line because it's really important, especially what Andy just said, because the power of God causes us to have faith to do what we can't normally do. Do we want to win the argument or win the person? Those are in your lines to fill in. Do you want to win the argument or win the person? I'm going to say it again. Do you want to win the argument?
Or the soul. I want to win the person.
Or the person. But I was right. I was right. Ooh, you're getting it. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Do you want to win the argument or win the person? And we have to tell ourselves that all the time. Sister Ann.
I'm reminded of two things. One is Matthew 6, if we stick to the Lord's Prayer for prayer, forgive us as we forgive those that sin against us. But in Luke 7 and 47, it says, and this is Jesus's. If it was in red, it would be in red in here. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Mm-hmm. But to whom little is forgiven, the same little loves. So when we forgive somebody, we are giving them the power to love other people. Mm-hmm. So even if it doesn't feel like they're loving us, and when we are forgiven from God, that gives us the power to love people. And when we forgive people, believe it or not, it causes our love cup to begin to overflow. Yes. So it's not even ever really about them. It's about ourselves.
Yes.
And if we can walk that close to God, that we allow him to forgive us as we forgive others, he's filling our cup. Our PPEs are on.
Right. Yeah. My paper says, don't return evil for evil. And I love this. Don't put people down on social media. Don't react on social media. Don't react on social media. Christians should not be getting on Facebook and saying a bunch of junk. Can I hear an amen? Shame on you if you're doing that. Shame on you if you respond to something out of anger or trying to fix something or trying to justify yourself. Or don't say a word. But people need to know the real truth. No. No, they don't. Because they're not. All you do is stir up a bunch of junk. Don't put junk on social media. If you have an issue with a person, that should be you and that person. Not you and that person and sister so-and-so because you want her on your side. And brother so-and-so because you want him on your side. And you want to tell them the real thing, what really happened. If you're going to be a leader, that should not be happening in your life at all. And it shows immaturity when you do it. You are not mature in Christ when you let that happen in your life. And if I'm speaking to somebody and you're feeling conviction, that's a good thing. And you need to say, Father, this is in my life. I don't want it to be in my life anymore. As Brother Andy said, he had a hard time forgiving. Well, he recognized it. I can say, Jesus, I'm really having a hard time with this. I'm having a hard time keeping my mouth shut or keeping my fingers and thumbs still. Help me, Lord. I need your help. Because if I'm going to be a leader, I can't just say whatever I want to say and react any way I want to react. Here's your next little to fill in. The number one reason people leave a church is unresolved conflict. Our tendency is to ignore conflict, hoping it will just go away. We sweep it under the rug, but it grows inside us like a cancer and ultimately will take us out of relationship. I've seen people who have gone past people in church. They've smiled. God bless you, Brother D. In the back of my mind, oh, if I could, I'd take him outside, man. You don't think that happens in people's brains? Oh, God bless you, Sister Sally. Shake your hand, hug you. And then go, do you know what she said about me? How could she say that about me? And it goes on in churches every day. And somebody overhears it. Oh, God, help us. Somebody overhears it, and somebody overhears it over here. And we run our mouths, and we're not careful what we say or where we say it. And people are wounded and hurt, and conflicts are not resolved because we've told everybody else except the person that we needed to tell. So let's get rid of that kind of junk if we're going to be leaders. So let's not have unresolved conflict. You know what the Bible says that I'm supposed to do? If I know that you have aught against me, I'm not supposed to wait for you to come to me. I'm supposed to go to you. Sister April, I feel like there might be something going on. And I present that to you. And you who are a loving, kind person can be honest with me and say, yeah, you said that the other day. That kind of hurt my feelings. And I don't say, well, you big baby. Because that's how we think sometimes, isn't it? You big baby, I didn't mean it. She needs to grow a little bit thicker skin. But I, out of a pure heart, say, I'm so sorry if I wounded you. That was not my intention. And then I go to an altar and I say, Lord, help me to watch what I say and how I say it. Brother.
This might be a little humorous, but years ago, when wife and I were going to Finley Church, it cost you to call Finley from Cary or to Cary from Finley. Well, they changed that. It was a free call. A nice young lady at the church told Joanne, says, oh, now I can call you free. Joanne says, yeah, if you're calling for gossip, don't call me. Never heard from her.
So we have to be careful what we say. I remember as a kid, a preacher years ago talked about that evil thing called the telephone. And that was back in the day when you didn't text or, you know, you got the thing on the wall with the long cord. And he talked about people getting on there and couldn't wait to share. Yeah, the dial. Couldn't wait to share something they'd heard, something they saw, something they experienced. And we have to be careful. Amen. Second mile leaders confront disagreements and conflict with an open heart. They handle situations as if they were dealing with their own mother or best friend. I love my mother, and she was a precious saint of God. I would have never, ever, ever wanted there to be a conflict or a situation that separated me from her. And if I wanted to fix that, I would have fixed that with an open heart. Let's not fix things with a wounded heart. Because we can say and do and behave in ways that aren't necessarily correct. And it doesn't always read right by the other person. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever had a child and you said, you're going to tell your brother you're sorry? And he goes, sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean it. But we have to be careful that our hearts aren't like that. When we say we're sorry, that we do it with an open heart, knowing you have the opportunity to be wounded again. What if I go to you and I ask you forgiveness and you don't forgive me? Guard that heart, the Bible says, with all diligence. Put your PPE on. You go in the strength of the Holy Spirit, knowing that you're going to run into that situation and maybe they won't forgive you. But you do it anyway. You do it with an open heart, knowing that you could be wounded, but it's okay. You can handle it because you have Jesus on your side, Brother Andy.
So I was having a conversation with a brother in Christ probably about a year ago. He's a good friend of mine, and I made the comment on the phone call. I said, man, hurting people hurt people, don't they, brother? And he said something very profound. He says, yeah, but loved people love others.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that's probably should be the focus, and I just thought that was powerful.
Right. So, yes, loved people love others. It comes out of your heart. It's what's in your heart. Allow people to have a path back while maintaining their dignity. Isn't that so good? Yeah, I'm going to forgive you, but let people maintain their dignity. Let them try to get back what they lost with dignity. Be careful how you treat them, how you talk to them, how you talk to others about them. Let them have their dignity. I love that one. The goal of a second mile leader is to restore people rather than be right. Sometimes we can't be right and restore at the same time. You take the wrong and don't ever mention it again. And it's okay. It takes strong people to do things like that. But you can be a strong person if you keep yourself in your prayer closet and you know what God has called you to do. And you can do it. They mentioned turning the other cheek in Matthew 5:39. Jesus said, if they compel you to go 1 mile, go with them 2. If they slap you on one cheek, you turn the other one. That's unlike anything we ever hear or think about, but that's Jesus' words. Go ahead, Brother Scott.
So I've tried not to love people before. Mm-hmm. I really have. My oldest stepson, I asked God, man. I watched him lay dead. I've been part of hitting him with Narcan. I've done all that with him. And I said, God, I just want to quit, man.
Yeah.
And I did. And he said, just like I did you, huh? Like I did you, Scott.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
You know, that now he's come full circle. You know, now starting June 1st, he's running a sober living house.
Mm.
I wanted to throw him away.
Yeah.
I don't know when you give up, you know. Mm-hmm. You give up when God tells you you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm ashamed to stand here in front of you right now and say that, but that's the flat-out truth. Yeah. I was so disgusted, mm-hmm. I wanted some peace in my life. Yeah. You know, and he's doing great. Now my other one's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I know I can't not love him.
Right.
I don't want to.
Right.
That's the truth. But God won't let me not.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's how I know that I'm in God's will.
Yeah.
Because of my own.
Just write them off. Yeah.
And my dad would have me.
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
You know, I was no different than them that they called heathens. I was the chiefest of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're going to be a true believer, a true follower, you're going to be a leader.
Yeah.
It ain't a choice.
Right.
Because people are going to look up to you, not for what you are, your billfold or your status, but just to what you, from what you were to what you are and what you're becoming.
Yes.
You know, and it's hard to stand here before people and say this, you know, because now I've come full circle. Now I'm back to where I want to give up on this one. Yeah, I do. Yeah. That's the flesh. Yeah. You know? And I can't. I hope God has something great for him, too. Mm-hmm. I wish he'd speed it up a little.
Thank you, Scott, for sharing your heart. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I think if there's something that we all, and I strongly include myself in that, need to ask God daily is love. We spend time in prayer asking God for things.
Yeah.
And if there's something that we all need to ask God daily is, give me more love to experience your love and love others.
Yeah.
And you might think, well, if I ask God for more love, I'll probably become weak. Mm. My question is God weak?
Mm.
And he's love. But on that same line that Scott says, God doesn't let me. This is what Paul wrote. He says, for the love of God, or for the love of Christ, compels us.
Mm-hmm.
Compels us. Now, I did a little bit of research on that word, compels, and it basically means to hold you together and forces you to go on one channel. Mm-hmm. Or one direction. You can't go astray. You can't go left or right. Yeah. The love of God will put you together, hold you together, and force you to align yourself to go into a channel of forgiveness or whatever it is. And that's only by the love of God.
Yeah.
So if we ask God for more love, I guess we would probably live a better life. Because we would be forced.
Yeah.
Hold it together. Forced to go in one direction and not different directions led by emotions and other things.
Right. Amen. Amen. The goal of Second Mile Leaders is to restore people rather than to be right. As a leader, we must always give people the benefit of the doubt. Always say, they didn't mean that. I'm sure they didn't mean that. They must be having a bad day. They didn't mean that. Something led them to do that. I want to find out what that is because they didn't mean to. Because if you're not careful, you will, as Brother Darius said, you think that being a loving person makes you vulnerable and weak. And people are going to take advantage of you. Yeah, they will. Well, they will try to. Sure, they will. And that doesn't mean, again, that you let people just do whatever they want. As he said, God is strong and God's going to guide you. And you are led by this and not what other people do and what other people say and how you feel. You're led by this and whatever this says, you do. And sometimes loving people means to say a strong word to them that isn't always what they want to hear. But when you do it in love and not holier than thou, or I told you so, well, I told you this was going to happen. That isn't, That isn't giving them what God asks you to give them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. We tend to judge ourselves by our motives, but others by their actions. So we can say, I didn't mean it. But that's hard for us to say to somebody else. So let's do that. We don't like to give people the benefit of the doubt. People say things that are mean. And even though they are usually kind, we throw them away sometimes over one act. We don't chalk it up to a bad day or a misunderstanding. We judge them and we think they have ulterior motives. Second mile leaders trade their rights for their responsibilities. Well, that's not right. They don't have a right to treat me like that. That's not right. But Jesus said, as Pastor Darius said, I'm going to compel you to love. So you may not like it, but this is your responsibility, and you're going to do it. Because you have told me, Betty, that you want to, I'll just sacrifice everything to follow you, Jesus. I'll do whatever you ask. The worship team is singing a song on Sunday morning, and I get down here. I'm moved by the Holy Spirit, and I'm just crying. Oh, Jesus, I'll just do whatever you want me to. And when I get home and Brother Jim has put too much pepper in the soup that he made, I have forgotten everything I just said. And we do it all the time. I want to do your will, Lord, till somebody does something silly in the grocery store or at work or driving in the car. And we become angry and upset and frustrated, and we react instead of taking a moment. So let's do what we say. It has nothing to do with my rights. It has to do with my responsibilities. Romans 14, 20, 21 says, don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. Paul said in the King James Version, if meat causes my brother to stumble, this is what he said, I will not eat meat for the rest of my life. Whoo! What? Oh, a brother Paul, you know, you can't get on. Got to be careful what you say. But Paul said, if I do anything that causes my brother to stumble, I'll stop doing it. If I go to a church and they don't believe with about pants on the platform, do you know what I'll do? I won't wear pants on the platform. I won't say, psh, that's a silly rule. These guys are just dogmatic about silly things. I'm going to wear my pants. I don't care what they think. Is that godly? Is that ruled by love? Absolutely not. If I go to a place or a church or wherever and this is their rule, guess what? I'm going to abide by their rule. I'm not going to fight over a bunch of silly stuff because I'm going to be ruled by love. I don't want to offend. That's what I want. I am more ruled by my responsibility rather than my rights. 1 John 2, 9 through 10. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I want my eyes to be opened. And I want to read you one more scripture this evening in Romans chapter 12. If you have a Bible or something on your phone. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. It says, this is seven commands regulating Christian conduct to the world. Romans chapter 12, starting verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That's an old word that means to pay back. Recompense no man evil for evil. Verse number 17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. When I was a kid, I used to read that scripture and go, yeah, if I do him good, man, he's going to pay. He's going to get coals of fire heaped on his head. Ha ha. But in reality, what it means is that the conviction of the Holy Spirit will be on him. You will cause him to be convicted, which means that he will say, I need you, God, please forgive me. He will be drawn to a merciful God who he will cry out to if you do these things. So to recap, second mile leaders, walk in forgiveness. They live with an open heart. They give the benefit of the doubt. And they trade their rights for their responsibilities. Thank you this evening for sharing. I appreciate all of you who shared. And as Brother Scott was talking this evening, he said, you know, I hate to say it, but that's the truth. But you know what's really cool about sharing your struggles, as well as saying what's right and what you're doing right, is when you share your struggles, somebody else hears that and says, wow, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm going through. And then you as a leader show them the path they need to take to get out of that place that they're in. And there's lots of people in the world right now. We live in such an angry place, don't we? Every time you turn around, somebody's mad about something. They're overwrought by anxiety. And some little thing happens and somebody, you know, throws a fit at work, or somebody drives crazy because somebody cut them off, or somebody in the store is angry and knocks something over and is screaming. Because we live in a stressful world. And if people saw Christians living and behaving in loving, peaceful, kind, compassionate ways. And I'm not talking about sweeping sin under the rug. But there's a way to reach somebody in their sin rather than saying, I'm right and you're wrong. When I do it with love and compassion, and my person that I'm looking at is Jesus, when he's standing in this crowd and these rulers, these angry men who hate him, and their only thought is to trip him up and to make sure he does something stupid so that they can make sure they tell somebody. They have no compassion for this woman. They're dragging her in the street. They don't care about her. And they throw her on the ground. And they say, hey, what about this, Jesus? Moses says that she should be stoned. She was taken in the very act of adultery. And you've heard it before, but where is the guy? We just have the woman. We don't have the guy. And Jesus doesn't, what I love about this, Jesus doesn't answer them at all. He just kneels down quietly, doesn't get in their face, writes in the dirt. Takes a minute. Sometimes being quiet makes us nervous. Like we're having this conversation, then I don't say anything, and you're like, oh. I just said to somebody the other day, I'm a talker, so if there's quiet in the conversation, I gotta like fill it in. I have to fill in the quiet moments. But Jesus says nothing to them, and they're waiting with this woman weeping on the ground. And he waits and he waits. Then he gets up and looks at them and says, okay, let's do it. Let's stone her. Let's go. So any of you without sin, you're the first person to pick up the stone. Okay? Well, they all knew each other. They knew who they were. And they just kind of dropped their rocks. And he says to the woman, where are your accusers? She says, they all left. And he says to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But what if we treated people with dignity like that? Listen, I know you just messed up big time. I want you to know that I love you and God has a plan for you. And I just want you to know that you have a purpose in your life. I think that the world would be a better place if that's how we dealt with people. Amen? By the example of Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Ann.
My son is going to be 20 this month, and he has been a heroin user since he was 12. I didn't even know it until he was 15. And because I had never been exposed at that level. I had grown up with parents that were drug addicts, but not those kind of drugs. And when it first hit me, what was going on, and God had me move to the city of Fostoria with a drug addict son, I'm thinking, are you out of your mind? Okay. I realized he was actually coming to Cary to get them. So they'll find them wherever they want to find them. I had to find a place in my heart to forgive myself for not realizing what was going on. That was probably the hardest stumble. And then to realize that God knew that this child that I loved from the day I found out I was pregnant with him was going to be a drug addict before he gave him to me. And he knew that there was love and compassion and forgiveness, that others would benefit from the trial of me having him as my child. Because I have learned how to love people I wouldn't have probably spoken to. I have learned how to hug people that I might have crossed the street to avoid. I have learned to reach out to people, even if I think they don't care what I have to say, to tell them they are valuable, they are worthy, God has a plan for them, they are not abandoned, they are not forsaken, they have not been forgotten. It doesn't matter how far they have ran, it doesn't matter how deep they have gone or how long they have been there, God has kept them breathing because he has a purpose and he has a plan and he has something. But had I never gone through it as a mother, I wouldn't have that compassion. And when I think of Jesus grabbing that lady, he's seen her as his child. He's seen her as a loved relative that he adored. He didn't care. He knew what she had been doing before she got there. He knows what we have done, what we have thought, he knows our hearts. Even we don't know our hearts. Sometimes stuff comes out and we're like, where did that come from? I didn't even know that was hiding in there. I've heard people say, I thought I was over that, but I'm not. We sometimes do not know our hearts, but God does. Yeah. And he loved us anyway. Amen. He chose us. He placed us and he put us because we have a job to do. Mm-hmm. We are called out the moment that we say that God is going to rule and reign and be our Lord. We are called out to lead others. The Great Commission is to go to all corners, to all people. It doesn't matter what they look like, smell like, talk like, act like. I was crazy before I was saved, and even probably most of my saved life. I have said and done things that when I look back, I'm thinking, what in the world? I had the most unstable mind, the most unstable thought processes. Water didn't have anything on me. And then I start to pick apart the things. And often it's because my husband will say, don't you remember? Don't you know? Aren't you? Not in a bad way, but he wants to remind me of growth. And he, you know, he's like, we have done this and this, and we've been through this. And a lot of times I forget. When you're in the middle of it, you forget where you've come from.
Yeah.
But I just caution us as Christians to not forget who we were before we found Christ. Mm-hmm. And we may not have done that sin, but just like Apostle Paul said, I was the sinner mm-hmm. of sinners. Yeah. I was the worst of all. And so were all of us. Mm-hmm. And if we can just get to that point that even if they're coming to church and they're sitting beside us, doesn't mean that they know what we know. It doesn't mean that they're to the point or have been through that part of the process. They may not intend what we feel, and they're not responsible for what we feel and how we take it, but we're responsible for how we act on it. I have some foster kids that have just been through some, because they feel abandoned. They feel left behind. And I have to remind them, we have to be angry and sin not. Your emotion is fine. The thought that you are processing anger, you're processing frustration, you're processing a lack that you feel is not being met. But we need to not sin. We need to not center it around us. We need to bring ourselves to, Lord, I praise you. It's harder for them. It should be easier for us as adults to say, I know where I'm at isn't making me happy, but your spirit promises me fruit, and I have gentleness, and I have meekness, and I have peace, and I have forgiveness, and I have faith, and I have long-suffering, and I'm going to be okay.
Amen. I got kids looking out in the window up back there like, let us out. All right, we're going to go ahead and say a word of prayer. But let me just say one more thing for you this evening. Not only should we walk in that kind of lifestyle, but let's remind our kids when somebody comes into the house and we think they're weird, or I should say they think they're weird, or they think they're different, or they... And you hear kids together, because they do it. You know they do it. They're talking together. Let's remind them, let's not do that. Let's be careful what we say. Let's watch our words and how we react to people. And as Sister Ann said, it doesn't matter what they look like, what they smell like, what they sound like. We need to love them, and we need to reach out to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. We pray, God, for all of our sisters and brothers who are going through illness. God, give them peace and give them comfort. Take away pain. Take away fear in the name of Jesus. And let faith arise in their hearts and their minds. We pray, God, for our family members who are going through very difficult places. We pray, God, that you would be with them. Be with, God, everyone who is a caregiver to any of them, Lord, that they would know what to do and how to navigate this difficult season in their lives. We pray, God, more than ever before, that we would remind each other to do it the way Jesus taught us to do it, and that we are not just leaders in here, but we are leaders everywhere we go, and that someone is watching us, and we want to do it right. We pray that we do it right, and we will not fail to give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.